morning. Today is Thursday, October the 12th. Joining us this morning from the Humboldt County District Attorney's Office is not Maggie Fleming. You guys don't even look like Maggie. Is that good?
She's way more important than
I am. Fair enough. We've got Kyla Baxley and Stacey Eads. Jason?
It's my husband.
So sorry. So sorry.
Not as sorry as I.
So you're the barbecue widow then?
Yes, that's okay. Right.
This morning we're talking about, well, different perspectives in the district attorney's office, as these ladies are not in charge. They kind of do the do. So we'll talk a little bit about that. Before we do, our quote this morning, let's see if we can find something semi-pertinent, huh? Okay. I had to read this one in high school. You guys have to read the Odyssey or the Iliad when you were growing up?
I didn't.
Oh. Actually, it's kind of a cool adventure story, if you like that kind of thing. From Virgil's Aeneid, quote, "Always believe the expert." It's not really breathtaking, but it's still kind of good. What got you guys into law?
Well, Stacey Eads, I am an attorney. Kyla Baxley is an investigator with our office. So
what got you into the law?
Into law, and what got me into law was returning to Humboldt County. I grew up here, and so specifically going into law enforcement, I thought it was a very interesting area of law. I came back and I had the opportunity to serve my community. So it's a good fit for me to be back near my family and in my hometown and also get to help out.
Kyla, you're suspiciously quiet on this one.
I was thinking, and I seem to echo a lot of what Stacey said. I also left and returned. I was kind of at the crosshairs of wanting to go into nursing or go into police work. I chose the path of being a sheriff's deputy at the Humboldt County Sheriff's Office, and it's been an amazing career for me. It's been a lot of excitement, kind of coupled with being able to help people, getting out in the community that I also grew up in. It's been a good fit for me as well.
I would think the nursing tact is probably not the traditional one for somebody ending up in law enforcement.
You know, it still has its appeal on days, but yeah. You know, I think I'm a little bit too vested at this point.
What is the biggest misnomer that folks who are buddies outside of your peer group have about the job that you do?
I think probably the one of the biggest misnomers is probably due in part to current television shows. There's the idea that we can get DNA back in 2 hours and convict a person within 2 weeks. It doesn't happen. And whether it's, you know, friends outside, you know, this job or even community members, I sometimes feel that some of those television shows have put this false sense of reality of what actually happens in our job.
How about for you, Stacey?
Oh, I think Kyla just gave the perfect answer.
Well, I would think, you know, in the old days, it was the FBI, right? Ephraim Zemelis Jr., and it would be solved within an hour, wrap up, and that kind of set the model for it. Do any of the, and I'm not familiar with them, so I can't really speak to a specific series, the reality-based shows, have those started to chip away on the edges of how long it takes? The unsolved mysteries, the cold cases, things like that that are being then dealt with years, if not decades later. Is that kind of starting to change that perspective?
To be completely frank, I don't watch any of those shows. Living it day in and day out to go home and watch more of it is not really something on my list of things to do. But I could appreciate what you're saying. At least it's giving a different perspective of how long these cases do take. But it also, I think, has something to do with the viewer of like, okay, let's really take a look at the bigger picture. Is that, you know, 10 years of work being smushed into a 30-minute TV show isn't realistic either. But
don't forget the commercials.
And the commercials.
Stacey, what about movies? Do those also add to that same concept? Or is there just more a lot of whiz-bang, smoke and mirrors and fireworks and chase scenes and all that kind of stuff for the excitement of the presentation?
Well, once again, I'm kind of in the same boat as Kylo, where I don't watch much TV, and to be honest, most of the movies I see are animated.
You're a Disney girl also. Yeah, okay.
So it's
kind of like a running gag here. If it's not Disney, if it's not animated, I'm not inclined.
So I really can't speak to that. And I'm very much like Kyla. We deal with very challenging matters. And when I go home and in my leisure time, I really don't care to watch and spend my time watching crime movies or crime films or any sort of entertainment.
It's Disney Channel, huh?
Drama driven.
Yeah, okay.
Disney Channel for me.
Well. Yeah, throwing the Food Network and a couple of others, and that,
yeah.
You know, and I'm not Travel even a grandfather yet, and I'm there. So that's kind of your guys' respite.
Correct. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. That I would think is something that would allow the career to evolve comfortably, rather than never having a break and just getting so involved and so engaged with it that you burn out.
Absolutely.
Yeah. KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:19.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music. ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbra Streisand, Billy Joel, and the Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio. Easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music. Easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Kyla Baxley and Stacey Eads from the Humboldt County District Attorney's Office. Ladies, what's the biggest challenge in your job?
Well, I think that, well, just to preface it a little bit, currently both Kyla and I work together on the child abuse cases as well as the sexual assault cases. So I think within that, the greatest rewards and the greatest challenges are kind of almost the same, and that's working with people who have been harmed. And I find that to be extremely rewarding, and but it's also very challenging in that we are not always able to provide the sort of news to folks that we would like to give them. And in almost every single one of our cases, I would love to be able to go back in time and just make it so that it had never happened to them. We can't fix things. And so I think that's probably the biggest challenge for me.
Getting too close to it?
It's a balance. You certainly have to, I think, have a certain degree of empathy and sympathy, but we also have to be very objective in our jobs and be able to take a step back and look at things in terms of what evidence we can present ultimately at trial. So on more than one occasion, I've had situations where I have no doubt in my mind that a child or a sexual assault survivor was in fact victimized. However, I also might at the same time have no doubt in my mind that we'd be unsuccessful and unable to prove beyond a reasonable doubt that the crime occurred. So that's, for me, the most difficult challenge.
The legal definition or standard that has to be met.
Right. And in setting that aside, but just dealing with the humans and the people involved and trying to explain that to them and help them work through that. So that's challenging, but it's also, I think, rewarding because we do try to spend as much time as possible with the survivors and their families and work with them and help them understand what's going on and help them get through the process and hopefully achieve some sense of justice.
Carla, you probably have got one of the toughest jobs.
Some days I think that.
Yeah.
So other days I don't.
What is your biggest challenge? If Stacy was indicating her end of the process, what about yours?
I could also agree with Stacy that the emotional component is often very difficult, is that we spend a lot of time with the families, as the court proceedings are often very arduous and long. It often seems unfair, but trying to be that optimism in a family's life when it's been completely turned upside down, it's oftentimes we see people in crisis and trying to manage that, I think, and also coupled with trying to manage, the emotional aspect outside of work, is trying to find that balance is often really difficult. Is being empathetic and caring very much about these cases and wanting to see them through to with some sort of justice, but also maintaining, our own lives and families and things like that. It's a struggle sometimes.
I would think the balance would be tough.
Yes, it does become tough sometimes.
Is there situations, or are there situations where when you guys are called into a situation, or a situation where there's a relief rather than the upheaval and the turmoil?
Absolutely. I can think of several occasions of where there's suspicion that activity has been happening, illegal activity has been happening, or abuse or assaults have been happening, and we're able to get a very solid interview with that child, for example, and or a medical exam that does show that nothing has happened. And so I think that those leaving an interview confident that this child is safe, they have been safe, is a good day for us.
Yeah, the intact and...
Right, and it offers relief to the family, I think, too.
So what would precede something like that? Somebody just seeing a different behavior, or words, or, I mean, what would...
Sure, and I mean, kids are very, they're like sponges, is that, oftentimes it's like, they're acting out a certain way because their parents are in the middle of a divorce, or, they have their... mirroring behavior from an older sibling or things like that. I mean, so, hypersensitive or just aware parents that feel that something may or may not be happening, or a mandated reporter, is that it is their duty to report things that they find are suspicious, but finding that really nothing is happening is good.
Does the social media make it more challenging for you guys?
Absolutely, and it makes it more challenging for us in terms of the families that are involved. And I try to encourage, frankly, survivors and their family members to avoid blogs and comments that are being made often by individuals that really don't have firsthand knowledge of the facts of the case and what's happened. And some of those can just simply be very painful for the families and the survivors involved, and just not helpful. Certainly, I think there are folks out there that are trying to make very helpful commentary, and that can be good as well. We just don't know.
It's 8:30.
What could we do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Kyla Baxley and Stacey Eads from the Humboldt County District Attorney's Office. Talk Shop presented by CDH Painting and by Redec. Ladies, with some of the different stories that are out in the news right now, we've got NFL football players being accused of battery, things of that nature. We see it in the college football ranks. I don't know if it's just because it's football season or if that's kind of what seems to be. There are more kids playing there, so you hear more about it. It's the goofy stuff going on in Hollywood that's now, some of it's being shared. You said earlier that movies and media were part of the portrayal of things inaccurate. What about when they are dealing with these folks differently? I mean, if it's Papstein does something, okay, it's pretty much black and white. Okay, and that's how it's reported. But when it's an athlete or a star athlete who's being accused or has been found guilty and then they're delaying the appeal process or involved in the appeal process, well, what he does for the team kind of sometimes overshadows what the act was. Same thing with Hollywood. It seems like some stuff going on. Is that more frustration for you guys in dealing with the day-to-day, what real is, and to see how sometimes society or culture will support certain individuals because of what they are rather than what they did?
I can see how I can see that it being very frustrating. I feel fortunate that we're not dealing with it here in Humboldt, is that I do have the utmost confidence in Maggie and those attorneys making these charging decisions, that the status in the community or what they've accomplished or not has nothing to do with what sort of penalties they may be facing. It is completely out of my realm of even dealing with at this point in Humboldt.
Stacey, how about you? You got to have some buddies in some of these communities that have got either professional sports or some of these types of scenarios that are playing out. Not that the criminal justice system has changed at all, but that public pressure is there.
I really don't have much to say about it. I'm sorry. I think more than anything, I just feel like it would be a concern for me in terms of survivors and families and whether that might deter them a bit from reporting what's happened to them. And so, I think that's just where my primary focus is on to the individuals that are affected by the offenses and how that impacts the community as a whole. And I do think that's an unfortunate message for the public to receive, that individuals that might be more famous than others would be treated differently. I think it's just wrong. So I think if the crime's the same, then I think the outcome and penalties ought to be the same as well. But naturally, at the time of sentencing, the court does, as well as prosecutors, if we stipulate to a particular sentence, take into consideration the individual offender's history, their background, whether they've offended before, whether they're remorseful, whether they might be someone that could benefit from treatment and other services and be likely to not reoffend. So we do look at a lot of factors that are specific to the individual in terms of the outcome, but I don't think fame is one that would be considered. We do see all types of offenders within our line of work, and I think individuals with a bit of a narcissistic personality is sort of a type for the sex offender, someone that likes power and thinks that the rules don't apply to him or her. And so we do see that type of offender fairly often, in particular with, I think, the sex offenses, whether the victim's a child or an adult.
What about how it plays in the jury box? There's got to be some influence at that point. Do you try to screen that out during the selection process, or do you just routinely have to make a reference or a reminder as you're going through the procedure?
Well, naturally, we really don't want jurors that are going to come in with biases or preconceived ideas in terms of what has happened or hasn't happened, or what should happen as a result if there was some sort of crime. So just generally speaking, we try to have jurors that can have an open mind and treat everyone fairly, including the defendant.
But if there's a celebrity, and not that we have any around here, but let's say we were at a change of venue out of the Bay Area, and it was somebody that everybody had name recognition of, if not had followed their career. Not that it's ever happened, but let's say that it would. Is there a way to dummy that down a little bit?
Yeah, we do a lot of questioning and just try to figure out whether that would impact the juror's ability to be fair one way or the other. So they it could go both ways. They could idolize the individual and give them the benefit of the doubt. On the other hand, they could do the opposite, thinking this is a person that, because they're famous, they don't think the rules apply to them and that they can do whatever they want. So we wouldn't want either of those individuals on our jury.
KINS, no autographs. That's pretty much what you're saying. No autograph seekers. Okay.
Yep.
KINS, News and Information Times, 842. We will be back.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka. Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:47. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Stacey Eads and Kyla Baxley from the Humboldt County District Attorney's Office. If there's somebody out there who has interest in, or whose kid has interest in, getting into this part of criminal justice, either as an investigator or as an attorney, specializing in the abuse and the sexual crimes, is that something they can do? Can they go through school with this as their focus, or do you get a general law degree and then just when you get hooked on to some team, you ask for that assignment?
Well, in terms of from the attorney's perspective, you can certainly focus on criminal law and have an emphasis on that area in terms of sex crimes and child abuse crimes. I suppose you could do internships at district attorney's offices and or public defender offices.
There are internships that are
available? Sure, lots of...
The confidentiality doesn't trump that?
Well, if you're asking specifically within our office, it has happened. Yes, we've had interns, okay. And have offered to allow high school students to do some job shadowing. There might be parts of the day that they wouldn't be able to sit in for confidentiality reasons, as well as some of the subject matter and content is just really not appropriate whatsoever for high school students.
So they may be excused for parts of the day.
They might be excused for parts of the day.
How about for you, Kyla? I mean, with the investigative end, I would think that could be kind of intriguing for some.
Oh, very much so. I think I can't imagine anyone ever jumping directly into being just a detective or an investigator. I think it takes some time and getting a more worldly view on just the crimes in general and the elements of each of those crimes before kind of narrowing your scope, I guess. So a deputy, then to a detective, and then subsequently to an investigator at the DA's office. When I was at the sheriff's office, I also did the child abuse crimes. And so my scope has definitely narrowed on days. I wish it was a little bit more broad. But, you know, I've had a lot of satisfaction doing what I do. So until I totally keel over from too much stress, I think I'll stay where I'm at. But it does take some time.
So you need general law enforcement?
Yes. Yes.
Experience or just training?
Experience. We're expected to testify and testify to a certain degree of expertise, and allowing all of that to happen before that happens is a good thing.
Thanks for coming by, ladies.
Thank you.
Yeah, you breathe, Stacy. Come on.
Breathe.
Okay, fine. See everybody tomorrow.